With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network. Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Ravenous. Ravenous is a 1999 horror western film directed by Antonia Bird. Set in the 19th century, the film follows Captain John Boyd, who has been sent to a remote military outpost in the Californian wilderness. There, things take a dark turn after a lone survivor of an ill-fated expedition arrives and leads them down a road that ends in murder and cannibalism. It's another very special episode today because we are once again joined by one of our favourite guests to lead us into this delicious world of cannibalism. It's Adam Carnevale. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me. And thanks for saying that I'm your favourite guest. Something, a claim I'm sure you've never said before.
I'm yet to hear it. I've never heard it. I've not heard it over said.
Oh, my belief.
The man who gave us Dreamcatcher will always be our favourite guest.
Fuck, I just realised that, yeah, you've served up some absolute cookers.
What has it been? It's been Dreamcatcher, and what was, there was another one.
Overlord.
Oh, Overlord, that's right. Yeah. Fuck.
That was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. Adam, I got a question for you straight off the bat. Do you watch any movies that don't have, like, army in them?
I hadn't even really thought about that, but yeah, that's fair enough, I guess. Ravenous is a bunch of, I was watching it with my partner, and the entire time we were like, fucking the problematic history of the US military, but gosh, isn't it pretty out there? Wow, it's so beautiful.
Did you have any problems with the costumes?
Good point. I am not 100% sure on some of the hats, if I'm being perfectly honest. I was looking at, I forget, the soldier, what's that actor's name? I forget.
The guy from Justified.
Neil McDonough.
Yeah. Neil McDonough. I was looking at his, he has like one of those Legionnaires hats where it's got the back and the sides. And I was like, I do not think that is period accurate. I think that hat at the very least was after the Civil War.
I love that with a movie about cannibalism, we've gone to the hats.
Yeah.
Fashion boys.
My issue with this film is the historical accuracy of the hats. The cannibalism... acceptable. There was a lot of cannibalism probably, back then.
Yeah, that's historically accurate. Well, that was one thing I was thinking about when watching this. I'm like, I love that this was a period in time where enough people ate enough other people that there was a mythology created around it.
Well, this is the Donner Party era, right? Like, that's from when they are. The Donner Reed Party, I've sometimes seen it referred to. So maybe I've got some ancestors who've tried people.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't know how much it was actually based on the... people said that, but I couldn't find any actual source for someone being like, yes, we vaguely based this on the Donner Party.
I mean, look, my research of that came from that it reminded me of Cannibal the Musical, which is based on the Donner Party story.
Okay. Yeah. That's crazy.
I read that it was very loosely based on that situation.
Right. Anyway, can I ask you a question before we... before we properly delve into this, I guess we kind of already have. But so when I suggested this movie, I said, do not watch the trailer until after you've seen the movie. Have any of you watched the trailer?
No. I have.
I have not. No.
I have.
Tom, please.
Look,
why should you have not watched the trailer?
Because the trailer opens with the legend and it shows someone eating somebody and the drawing of the Wendigo. Like, oh, the first 5 seconds spoil the twist of the film.
Oh my God.
I think as well, the trailer kind of sells it as a bit of a horror, like a stoner comedy.
Yeah. Oh,
and it is not much of a stoner comedy.
Well, no, but it is. I contest that it is a stoner comedy because they literally have a character who is a stoner.
Yeah.
Like, they find a way to make David Arquette a pothead in the 1800s. They're like, yeah, this is the Wild West. It's frontier country. I don't know. We need a stoner. Okay. He smokes local grass.
Yeah. Annoyingly, he never got the munchies in wanting to eat people. That feels like a missed opportunity if they want to go down the stoner comedy route.
True.
Yeah. Adam, do you know much about the background of this movie?
I know a little bit.
Like what happened with the director and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, the directors, I think you mean, yeah. Did they have two or three?
There was, I think, very briefly a third one.
Yeah.
Oh, but he was the second one. I think his only credit to that point was Home Alone 3. So they had this like fantastic guy from overseas who'd made like this award-winning film, and he was like, you know, one of those just cinema artists. Everyone was so excited to work with him. And the studio didn't really know what the hell they were dealing with. So they tried to fired him and tried to get the Home Alone 3 guy.
That's who you need.
And then the cast had like a mutiny and got rid of him after a week and brought in the person. Yeah.
I heard that. That's crazy.
They refused to go on set and act if he was directing.
Wow. Yeah.
And so Robert Carlyle rang his friend, Antonia Bird, who ended up directing the film.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's so funny. I just, because here's the thing that blows my mind is, I when I was about to start watching the film, for some reason in my head, I had it in my mind that this was like from 92 or 93. Okay.
Yep.
And then I saw that it was 99. It is a big budget, a moderate budget Western horror film. This movie, you couldn't make, this is going to sound ridiculous, but it would be so hard to make this movie today.
Well, it was so hard to make the movie then.
Right?
I don't know if you saw. Talking about that sort of stuff as well, there was apparently a lot of meddling from like the
studio?
The studio, yeah. And there was a lot of like questions about budget. Like they started filming before they knew what their actual final budget was going to be. Yeah. Which was one of the big issues. And apparently, they ran out of money towards the end, and the final fight scene was improvised by the actors.
Oh, yeah.
You can't tell, wink.
They ran out of fake blood.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. They ran out of fake blood doing it.
I read that the original end fight was supposed to happen on top of, like, a burning roof. And they were just like, no, we can't do that. And so they just like got together and just started punching each other.
What if we fell into a lovely embrace in the middle of this giant bear trap?
Yeah.
I kind of love that that's the way, like a rooftop fight would have been cool, but the fact that they die pinned together and he literally says, if you eat me, you will gain your strength and be able to get, you'll be able to live. And the temptation is right there for Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
And it's so great to just see him reject the hunger and have that moment where he looks at Martha and is like, I've rejected the hunger.
Yeah.
I've done it. And she's like, good boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck off into the woods forever now. You're all a bunch of fucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like giving him that choice is great. Like so much of story comes from giving characters choices and obviously the moral dilemma of that, of what they want and what they need, but as well as it shows us who the character is. But for his arc, that's like the perfect ending for his character.
Yeah. Hmm.
He's a coward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can relate to this guy. I love him.
This is the most relatable, I think, protagonist we've ever had in a movie. He doesn't like anything. He's terrified of everything and he doesn't want to be there.
It's very good.
He's us. Tell you what, 99 Guy Pearce can absolutely fucking get it, too.
He still can.
Yeah, even with those grody teeth of his that he has by the end, you're like, oh, I still would.
Something that got pointed out to me is he has such an interesting arc because before the events of the movie, he has tasted human flesh because he specifically says in his flashback, he like blood drools into his mouth and he tastes his commanding officer or whatever.
Right.
Isn't it implied that that gave him the strength to then get out of the situation?
Oh, yeah, I never even thought of
that's
that.
What I
think that's what they were going for.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
He even has a line like, something was different about me, or so, like, not that on the nose. Yeah. But something
had changed.
Something had changed. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, this cowardly man who literally was like, I guess I'll hang out under this pile of corpses, is now willing to take on an army by himself. Like,
yeah.
The amazing thing about this movie is it makes a very strong argument for cannibalism.
Oh, big time. Do you find yourself towards the end being like, yeah, I could totally, like, if I'm in that situation, why not? Why not get super strength?
Yeah, lean in.
That stew looked good.
Yeah, that stew, yeah. Mate.
That's the thing. Like, at the start, you see, like, they've got these super grotty scenes of them eating flesh and, like, these flashes of it and everything. By the end, you're not that concerned anymore. Like, cannibalism to me is one of the grossest things you can have on screen. Yeah. It's like, one of the scariest things is, like, being buried alive. One of the grossest things that most upsets me on a personal level is the idea of cannibalism. There's something so inherently wrong about it. By the end of this movie, you're like, geez, that's stew. Yeah, I'll pass a bowl over here, mate.
It's so deliberate. I think it's so deliberate on the filmmaker's behalf that by the end of it, it doesn't look grotty anymore to be eating human.
Yeah.
It looks like a tasty soup.
Yeah, exactly right.
Also, it's funny to note that Guy Pearce is vegetarian.
Yes.
And he would chew it, and then as soon as they said cut, he'd spit it all out.
Oh, man.
Because it was like bits of lamb or something in the stew.
That adds a whole nother layer to his character that blows my head off. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I love that both he and Robert Carlyle's character in the film, Ives, are both vegetarians.
Right.
Like Ives doesn't eat any of the meat on his plate because he's a bit hungrier for something else.
Yeah. I just want to go right back to the very start of this movie for a minute, because they have what I always love. I always love when they've got like a quote or something to start off a film.
Yeah.
Because it really sets the tone so well. And the one that just said, eat me, Anonymous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I see what we're in for here. Okay. I'm getting there. As well as like in the opening credits, like already this movie started to have a few strange beats that weirdly work, but the opening credits, every time a name came on screen and there was like that noise, almost like a whip crack, I guess because it's like going leaning into the Western thing.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, this is an odd choice because this movie was made in 99. And then I saw the words David Arquette and then I'm like, okay, now I'm really feeling like I'm starting to understand where we're sitting here.
Well, at times it's like just a flat out comedy. Like there's a lot of horror elements and it does pivot completely into horror by the end, but there are some just like just big old comedy. Like when he first gets to the camp and he's meeting all the other people in this camp and they're all kind of different levels of idiot and weirdo.
Yeah.
And there's that great scene where old mate from Justified, Reich, is that his name in the film?
Yes. Yeah.
He's introducing all the characters. He's like, and Private Reich, who's our soldier, and it just smash cuts to him standing shirtless in a lake screaming.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best.
What's great though is that's used for like comedic effect to be like, yeah, this guy's nuts. Mm. In the trailer, they pitch that as though he's having like he's in danger.
Oh.
Like the way that shot is framed is completely different. If you had watched the trailer, not only would it have spoiled this movie, but you would have thought you were getting just a different movie.
Yeah, okay.
Like a weird drama Western horror, whereas this is like, no, that's a joke.
Right.
See, this is so funny that I got such a different impression from the trailer and from the movie. Like I said, from the trailer, it's kind of, I was like, oh, it makes it seem like it's a stoner comedy, which I think the movie, I was just so like, well, there are maybe two jokes. Like there's the joke, obviously, with the private where he's standing in the river, and then there's like one where the villain who, can I say, a villain who can do some good mincing? A good mincing villain?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when he's like going through and he's like, oh, the private, he was a very tough soldier, but then a soldier should be. But what a great line.
No, but a great moment of comedy too is when Carlyle tells, I think the actor's Jeremy Davies, I think, when he tells him to run, and then it's just like the music choice is just like da da ding 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 ding.
Yeah,
it's just bizarre. Like by that point, you're kind of freaking out a bit because it's building up to people going inside a cannibal cave, and then suddenly it's just like this circus music while he's running away.
The music is next level. There's like synth and like guitar riffs and like. Traditionally, if this movie was made now, the music would all be like Western style music. This is just like movie music. Like this is just music that you would see in a movie set in like the street.
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't pick where this movie was going because, like Adam, you told us not to watch the trailer.
Yeah,
and I was about 40 minutes in, and I'm like, I'm really enjoying this, and I assumed that Carlisle was taking them to the cave and that he might have friends there who are cannibals. It was like a cannibal group and his job is to bring people back or whatever. Mm. And then everyone just started dying very quickly. Mm. And I was like,
super quick.
There's still over an hour to go. What the fuck is this movie going to be? There's only like two guys left. Right. And then it went to a pretty good place, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strangely enjoyable is like how I would describe this. Like if you'd given me the storyline before watching it, which like, so good call, Adam, on not watching the trailer.
Yeah.
I probably would have been like, I'm not going to go in for this. But yeah, I left like satisfied.
Yeah.
It was an enjoyable watch.
Like a full meal.
Yeah. Adam, I want to ask, how did you find out about this film? What did you know about it before watching it? Like what was your experience?
So I had not seen the movie. So this is going to be a very funny explanation. I had until for this episode, I had not seen the movie start to finish in one go. I had seen about from the midpoint to the end, which can I say, starting at this is the first time I ever saw it. Would have been maybe like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
To see this movie from the middle at the middle to the end, you do not really understand what this movie is.
Well, that would be what Guy Pearce choosing to eat the guy in the tree beyond, pretty much.
I think it was, I came in when he was freaking out that the guy was now his new commanding officer. I think that's when I came in. And obviously I kind of, you know, through movie language or whatever, I understand that Guy Pearce is correct somehow, but I'm like, I do not know where this is going. What is happening here? And then I watched like the beginning part till about like half an hour before the end. And I've never actually seen it start to finish.
Hmm.
For the longest time, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, this strange movie that I don't really get.
Mm.
And then I saw a review that someone else had done online of it, and they talked about it really passionately. And I was like, well, maybe I'll give it a proper go.
Mm.
And then I watched it for the first time, start to finish, maybe about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's pretty good.
It is good. Like it's weirdly compelling.
Yeah.
And well made. And like why have we never heard of it?
Because it's a cannibal film.
Yeah, I think that's honestly it. Like you've got some fairly big names in there giving some very committed performance. That's another thing I loved about it, is like everyone's very committed to this movie. Like no one's sort of just doing it for a buck or anything like that. Everyone seems super on board. Like Jeffrey Jones was great, I thought. I was like, as soon as he walked on stage, I'm like, I'm loving this.
Yep.
And then, but yeah, obviously Robert Carlyle fucking steals the show.
Superb.
That sequence on Robert Carlyle where it's the night. So they've had the dinner. He's now in charge of that camp. And Guy Pearce is like stalking him with the knife. And then they have that scene outside where he's like circling him like a shark. And he's like, do you want some of the blood? That whole scene is so fucking good. And I mentioned this, I think, to Sean.
Mm.
But that whole scene, I'm like, oh, he's Dracula. Like this whole movie is Robert Carlyle being Dracula.
Yes. Yeah. Like that's, the whole thing plays as vampires on one level, like obviously consuming other flesh, you get virile, you get like super strong, all that sort of stuff. Like there's a lot of vampire crossover. If anything, I think this feels like a stronger Sal because it's almost like, fuck, well, I've never eaten person. Maybe that there is something here. Like, how do I know? Maybe like the proteins are like make us super awesome. Who knows? Maybe we're a superfood. I don't know.
It definitely feels like a vampire film, I think.
Yeah.
After about halfway through, then it's big vampire vibes. I will say, if I can say one negative about it, not horny enough.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
See, I kind of agree with you. That last scene where they're like stuck together in the bear trap, I was like, this feels like they're implying something.
Oh, yeah. You gotta fuck your way out of that bear trap.
Absolutely. It feels like several times they're like there's an implication of something that never really comes to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a lot of temptation going on in terms of, hey, just have a little nibble.
Yeah.
But it never really connects the dots so much towards sexual temptation.
Yeah, which is a missed opportunity, I think.
Yeah, I agree. actually.
I don't know if it's not... I don't think Carlisle's not bringing it. I think it's Pierce.
Pierce is holding back.
Yeah,
man.
I think he's holding back a bit. Yeah.
He's
got to open himself up to that.
He was distracted spitting all of that meat out.
I think the other thing that just is a bit odd is just sort of the last, just before that kind of showdown, but the back half where it's revealed that the major or whatever he is actually is alive because he got fed by Carlyle to keep himself alive, and he's joined the cannibal cult. But then, like, he goes from, like, literally a 24-hour period where he kills one of his friends, they eat him, he gets Guy Pearce on board, and then the next day he's just like, kill me. He just, it just doesn't feel like it's like that happens in reverse.
It doesn't feel earned.
Like, he grapples with it after he's already done it.
Yeah. But I kind of can see that because, like, it's made him so, like, he's feeling the best he's ever felt. So because of that, I feel like he's squashing the obvious moral objection to what he's doing, because he's like, who the fuck cares? I feel fantastic. So I do think it would be later on in retrospect, you're like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. It's like when you like eat a whole box of donuts and you're like, this is amazing. I'm going to eat the whole box. I'm going to be so happy with myself. And then you do it. You're like, yes, I'm full of sugar and I feel fucking fantastic. And then 30 minutes later, you're like, God, I'm a piece of shit.
It's eating KFC. There is no greater joy or more delicious food on the planet than KFC while you are eating it. The minute the last piece has passed your lips, there is no greater regret than choosing to eat KFC.
Yeah, I'll pay that.
Makes you strong though, Tom. Makes you strong. And virile.
For about a 10-minute burst, and then you want to shit yourself and die.
That's the journey Jeffrey Jones went on in this movie. So, like, I don't know. I think it plays all right.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Tom, it happens quick.
It does. Actually, you know what? I tell you, I retract my statement.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
All right, boys, were we scared by this movie?
No, not super scared. Quite tense when they got to the cave.
Yeah, 100%.
But then 100%. Once you see what is unfolding and where we're going, then it's more like I kind of enjoyed it more than I was frightened by it.
Yeah.
But I feel weird about enjoying it. It's such a weird movie.
I've gone on the exact same journey. Like, as soon as I'm like, oh, this is a cannibal film, because again, we knew nothing going in, I'm like, oh, fuck, I better get ready here to feel gross the whole way through. But yeah, the movie does such a good thing of like, you definitely feel gross in the first act and even probably part of the second act. But then midway through, you just stop. Like, all that's...
Yeah.
You don't care anymore. Like, we're watching these great character actors do their thing. I was stopped caring, and I should care.
It's the charisma of Carlyle, I think.
Yeah.
Their performance.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it was the moment where he's got Guy Pearce up on the clifftop, and he's sort of just like, he's in control now, and he's wearing that fucking stupid hat, and I'm just like, something about this movie I just like. Like, I'm freaked out by his character. He's a weird fuck.
Yeah.
But also, I really like what's happening here.
He's so playful.
Yeah, that's
it. He's
having
loving
fun.
It. Like you do feel like this is where maybe, the temptation thing could have been more obvious. Like, you almost feel like he wants Guy Pearce's character to join in on the game, like, of what's taking place here, you know? But yeah, the cave definitely... I was feeling very uncomfortable about. And then the inside of this cave's got to be fucking grody as all get out, which it was.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought it might have actually been worse. And same as, I think it was you, Adam, who said, I thought there was going to be like a bunch of cannibals waiting there and they're going to get accosted and it's going to be like this horrific scene of humans just like, let's not even wait to cook them. Let's just dive on in.
Yeah.
But then with Carlyle doing his like little rabid dog impression, like around the camp or whatever, I kind of got distracted by that from being scared, because I'm like, I don't know what's going on here.
That whole thing where he is like terrified, and then like it's a really weird way to do it, because he stops, but he starts doing that weird thing to freak out old mate Mumbles.
Yeah, Religio boy, yeah.
And then he goes and like digs the knife up, but he doesn't get it straight away. He kind of digs. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, wait, is he going to dig through to the cave to them?
Oh, fuck,
and then he stops and he kind of runs back over, and then he goes back over to the hole. It's like, why are you digging in two goes, yeah, buddy?
Yeah, I don't, I like, I literally don't, like, that's my one weird thing for this film is, like, I'm not really sure, because he seems so in control as soon as he gets a bit more flesh in those, past that sweet mouth of his, and he's all of a sudden this playful, charismatic Carlisle. But before that, I'm like, I don't know what your character's doing. Like, there's no real rhyme or reason for any of it. He's just making some odd choices.
Yeah. Look, the I would describe it less as a horror movie and more as like a movie with one or two horror scenes in it.
Mm.
Like, obviously, yeah, that cave. Good. Despite the number of times I've seen bits and then the entirety of this movie, I kept getting confused when Carlisle is doing that scrambling thing. I kept thinking, oh yeah, he's counting how many there are so he knows how many people he needs to shoot or whatever. Oh, okay. And then he pulls out the knife. I was like, oh fuck, no, I do not remember. I do not remember.
Well, what I love too about this is you get that sequence. This is where, like, while there is that tension, they don't really, after that scene, they don't ratchet up the tension anymore, because they reveal the monster, and then the rest of the movie becomes about a battle of wills.
Yeah.
Because they do some crazy stuff. Like, there's that whole thing where they show how much time has passed for Guy Pearce being stuck in that tree, where they just show, like, Ives, Carlisle, whatever his name is, just having the best time. Like, sitting out in the sun by the water, eating flesh, and just like, ah, isn't it just... Like, he's just full of joy and mirth.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Good for him.
Mm. But, like, yeah, like, this is where tonally... This never really plays as a... Like, what you said, Adam, it's not playing as a horror film. It kind of is like, ah, oh, sure, that's there because we've got cannibals. You've got to have some kind of horror element to it. But, yeah, like... The music, like we said, is not the score of a horror film. Like, it never really plays for that. And it could, because the situation is definitely gross and creepy enough, but it never leans into it at any point.
Mm. Adam, would you say that that might be like the kind of film you really dig? Because I know you've mentioned to me before that you like Bone Tomahawk, and that to me is a Western right up until it is horror.
Yeah, I...
Like, that is, like you said, it's a different kind of movie that maybe has, like, two or three horror scenes in it.
I think my favorite types of horror, or the only times I can really stand horror, are A, when I can be like, no, I'm siding with the monster.
Yeah.
Or B, when I can be like, gosh, look how pretty, or wow, this is another genre that I love combined with horror.
Yeah, yep. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So on this one, you got both, because you side with Ives because he's so charismatic and fucking, just wonderful. And it looks pretty. It's pretty, and it's got army, and yeah.
He doesn't want to, he's a good guy. He doesn't want to break up families.
I love that.
is his whole plan, just for my own benefit, is his whole plan that they will turn one more person?
Yeah.
Like, they'll turn the general? Is that the plan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love how confident he thinks he can be like, yeah, I'll get the general to turn.
Right.
Yeah, well, right.
He kind of does. The general does the hard work for him. Yeah. Chowing down. Yeah,
well, that's another thing, is that is just not ever spoken about. But the general eats human flesh.
Mm. Yeah, to me that's like, oh, this isn't finished. There is like...
I think there's a lot of implication and allusion there with cannibalism to manifest destiny.
Yes.
And the quotation marks conquering of the West.
He literally says manifest destiny at one point. He gives that great speech where he's like, you just got to eat.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's actually really good. The idea that the true cannibalism is America.
Yeah. All right. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
No, not wisely. Even when they like, so Ives tells him the story.
Yeah.
And the woman's in trouble. We got to go to the cave and save the woman. And so they set out in the morning, and then Ives comes up and he's like, oh, I'm coming with you. And they're like, no. And they're like, but you won't be able to find it without me. Oh, that's a good good point. At no point. Why didn't they get him to draw a map or something? Right. Yeah, like yeah. They're just idiot. They're a bumbling squad of morons.
I mean, like,
but they set that up beautifully. Yeah, they show you that everyone at this outpost is no good.
Mm. Yeah, they're all just shit heap humans.
They're rejects. It's just a little reject pile. Yeah,
yeah.
It's perfect in that sense. Yeah. But like, how can you trust him?
Yeah.
He does all sorts of weird shit. Wakes up in the middle of the night and he's licking the guy's wound.
Oh shit!
Which is another funny moment. That's pretty funny when he's like, he was licking me. Yeah. Like, and they're still just like, eh, all right.
He's all right, though. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, you know, like you guys mentioned before, when he's digging for the knife or whatever, they have so much time to put an end to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Fucking Religio boy. What was his name? Toffler.
Yeah.
He literally has a gun pointed at him. He's got that shotgun, rifle, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he's literally pointing at him. That's his whole job, is to point it at him.
Yep.
And then when he goes feral and pulls the knife, he does nothing for so long. Then he even kills Jeffrey Jones, I think. And he's still just watching him until basically Carlisle says like, well, you better start running. In which case he drops the gun and starts running.
Yeah.
I was fucking livid. I'm like, this little dumb Toffler. Fuck, he deserves to be eaten.
Can I ask a question about Guy Pearce? Like, at what point does he look at Carlisle and go, I think you're invincible and I can't defeat you in a physical fight? Because when they're on the cliff top, he doesn't even really try and get in a fist fight with him or anything.
Yeah.
Right. Because he's physically, Guy Pearce is bigger than Carlisle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to look at it and be like, I reckon I've got a 50-50 chance. Right. I've already shot him. He's got to be hurt.
Yeah,
I don't know how he got up. He's got to be hurt. He chooses suicide. He chooses to jump off the cliff rather than try and fight this guy.
It's kind of like even more explainable but worse, because he shoots him and Carlisle's on the ground for a little while, and then he has that moment of like indecision, like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Carlisle gets up. When Carlisle gets up after being shot and doesn't seem hurt, fair enough. I'd be like, well, I guess I'm jumping.
Yeah, yeah.
But after he shoots him, Carlisle's on the ground moaning and in pain. I'm not finishing after I've shot him. He's not dead until I've caved his skull in.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's to be fair, it is whether, depending on the read you want to take, whether you're believing that Guy Pearce knows that human flesh makes you stronger because he's tasted it, or he's just a coward. Like, he's just, like, again, the reason he's in that camp is because every single one of them are useless. One of them is too wrapped up in books and philosophy. One of them is a drunk, one of them can't speak, and one of them is a stone-cold psychopath. Like, and the other one's stone. Like, none of them are functional at all. So no wonder they all fuck up. And I think, he jumps. But can I just say, his suicide attempt or jump is... Like, he doesn't jump, boys.
Yeah.
He soars.
But even him falling down, like, if he fell for so long, I'm like, oh, is this a spoof movie where, like... This is actually going to go for 5 minutes of just him constantly tumbling and tumbling and tumbling.
Like Hot Rod.
Right.
Remember the scene in Hot
exactly
Rod?
Right. Yeah. That's what it felt like. Like, is this going to end? Is he just, because it's the rest of the movie?
That was great. Can I, one more thing that stood out for me that is dumb by Guy Pearce is when the, is it the Colonel guy, the guy that was in charge who's teamed up with Carlisle, when he's like, kill me, please. Then Guy Pearce chooses to kill him in the window in view of Carlisle. Like, his plan is, I'm going to kill Carlisle. Give yourself the element of surprise.
Yes.
Like, you just completely, you've killed it. Like, I couldn't believe that. I'm like, everything you do is dumb.
Yeah. He's almost making eyes with Carlisle while he's doing it.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing, mate?
Yeah. Made no sense.
Does he set the bear trap after that or before that?
It's after.
After that.
Yeah, it is after. Because then you get that great sequence where you just see Carlisle's face with the cross on it just flashing everywhere. He's... Apparently, when you eat enough meat, you can teleport.
Yeah. Like that's where it felt super Dracula-esque, when like those sorts of things are happening.
Yeah.
Well, on Ives, Carlisle's character Ives, I actually was like, why did he even tell them he'd been eating people at all?
Mm.
He could have just been like, hey, they're trapped. They sent me to get help. I found you guys. We got to go get them. Like, it seems wild to me that they brought in cannibalism in his story, and that he so openly be like, well, we had to eat some of them, I guess. Look, I wasn't happy about it, but I did it.
That's a great point, because now they're more on guard. They're like, oh, cannibals are there. Whereas if it's like, oh, people trapped, let's go. Like, you know, they may not have even brought as many weapons or anything, because they might have been like, oh,
I think Ives seems cocky. I don't know. That seems like part of his character to me. He's like, I could take everyone in this camp right here and now, but I am playing with my meal.
Yeah,
that's probably true. Also, like, so when he does, when they've got him, like, captured, he has a little lick on the foot during the night. He's like, well, you better lock me up. And so then they take him, and, like, what, is this part of his game or what? Because I was honest, this is honestly where I was confused, where he's like, he goes from being like, he's scared. He's acting really scared of the cave. No, 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 don't let me, don't take me over there, don't take me over there. Then he starts going feral and digging around in the dirt and snuffling around like a fucking boar. And then he goes full just like, okay, mask off, here I am. I'm eating people and I'm here to kill you all. Like, I don't really get that series of events and like why he's playing those various parts. Does anyone have any insight on that? Because I was honestly confused.
No. No. No, and like, now that you mention it, why go to the cave?
Yeah, yes.
There's yeah. nothing there. You're already at the camp. Like, yeah. you're risking going, like, what the fuck? He's so right. weird. He is so weird.
Is it more the idea, though, that if he gets them and they disappear at the camp, it's like, well, they died in the wilderness.
I guess he's covering his next step. Yeah.
And then if they go missing, someone else will come look for them so he can have more food.
Yeah, maybe there's more mystery so he can kind of, like, play that story a little
when
bit.
When do you think he decides he wants to take over the camp?
I think the minute he shows up.
Yeah, I think that was the plan from the start,
Because the assumption, because again, like, even in the credits, he's billed as Ives. Because who is he? He's not who he says he is the first time, and he's not Colonel Ives.
Are we 100% sure on that? Because he's F.W. Calhoun and Colonel Ives. Mm. He shows up as Colonel Ives, and everyone just says that he is, but like, he doesn't really have any like objective proof other than people just believe he is. I something that always interested me about that is like, who is he?
Right.
Because we never really
I don't think he's either of the people that he says. The only person we know he is he's a guy who was dying of tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was gonna be basically locked up in a hospital until he died. Because he was suicidal.
Do we think he is from Scotland?
Yes. Well, he's got that Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Which I think is the only accent he can do.
But then, I think, like, this is, again, where part of the Draculiness is coming through. Like, how long has he been doing this for? Like, how many years has he been just chowing down on people to the point that he's like, well, I need a fresh income of people. Oh, I have a little fort on the outskirts where it has, like, these people coming through every year. Perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So in my mind, he's been doing it for ages, taking on different personas, in whatever it takes to get more people, and then he's finally got a plan that's going to get him there.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Another person who I thought definitely didn't act foolishly, and he's probably my favorite character, was Rain, the crazy soldier boy who was like arguably a psychopath. But one, I'm like, no, he just wants to play soldier. Like he just wants to do the thing he signed up for. Like to me, I was like, oh, I kind of feel for the guy. And then once the situation kicks off, he's the only one who actually realizes what situation he's in. Like, he's ready to fucking do it right.
Yeah, you know, another thing about him that I loved was when the religious boy slipped down the mountain and then he just jumped over the top without seeing what he's jumping into.
And then when he gets to him and he's like, he's okay, he's okay. And he looks down and he's like, you're okay?
I tell you what I love, just on a completely unrelated note to that, but it did remind me of this, is everyone's goggles in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So they all wear those, like, snow goggles and they're all slightly different. Fuck, they look good.
They're great. Good. Yes, agreed. How, I guess, would we do then in this situation?
Cannibal.
Cannibal. Yeah. All four of us cannibal.
Yes. I love that stew, baby.
Hell yeah.
Look at that stew.
We're
it looks
in.
Good. Hey, hey, that frontier out there, that's tough. The winter's tough. Food. Where's the food coming from?
Right.
You're relying on, what's his name, Arquette to go out and get it? Come on. He's going to get lost one day and we're going to starve. You got to eat
Here's
people.
The important question, actually. Are all four of us in this movie at the same time? Because they only want a troop of three. So,
oh, no.
Well, no, he wants a troop of four.
He wants four.
He wants four. All right.
He wants
so that's
Guy
room.
Pierce and he wants the other guy.
So there's room for two.
Oh, well, no, he includes himself in that four.
One of us is him, though, right?
I'm assuming, yeah.
So there's four spots on the team.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Adam shows up. Adam shows up to our outpost. Yes. Let's be honest. We are in the reject outpost, the Scaredy Boys outpost.
Yeah.
Adam shows up. He tells us this story of cannibalism and he's like, we should go rescue them. And we're like, you're the cannibal, aren't you? And he's like, yeah. We're like, yeah, we're in.
You got
We're
me.
In.
But watch this, watch this. Shoot me, I'll be fine.
And we do, we shoot him, and he gets back up, and we're like, fuck, this is actually incredible.
Right.
And then we're like, we're the only ones at this camp.
Yeah. And here's why I actually think I'm very on board with this, is because Carlisle's main...
on board with cannibalism.
Carlisle's, like, main drive... Like, after he, once he's got his solid food source, he generally just wants Fred's. Like, I wrote the comment Fred's as I was watching this because I'm like, literally, it's just like, I just want my boys around me. Like, I want a few people to hang out with while I eat people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, cannibal gang? Yeah. Yeah. We're the cannibal gag. The four of us, yeah, sorted.
Friendship and stew, you know, and we won't target families.
Yes. The only thing a cannibal wants is a friend to say, does this clown taste funny to you? That's all they want.
I feel pivoting, like, I could do this so easily because, like, one of my favorite musicals, Sweeney Todd, they eat people in that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm on board.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in.
Let's make some pies.
I'll bake people into pies. Maybe we go after drifters. Maybe we go after bad people. Maybe we decide that the conquest of the North America is bad. So we go after America. We stop America from happening.
We eat America.
But we don't break up families.
No, no, no.
We don't break
up a family.
Yeah. Nothing is stronger than family.
Yeah.
Maybe we open a restaurant. A family restaurant. Yeah. Bring them in.
Called La Familia.
Feed them. Send them on their way.
In that case, I guess my question is, what recipe would you go with?
Ooh. What recipe?
Yeah. I'm thinking tacos.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, if humans do really taste a bit like pig, then taco is a good option, I think.
Great. I'm so glad to have your approval on my tacos.
I was saying, who was saying pie before? I'm liking the pie suggestion.
Yeah, pie's pretty good.
I'm up for pie.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things, too, where I just want to clarify, like, you know those stories of people who, like, crash in the mountains and then they eat someone and everyone's fucked up? Yeah, I don't think I could do that, but I could do this. This is fun.
Yeah. Again, this movie makes it very, excuse the pun, palatable.
Oh,
I say we hire a kitchen staff. We have chefs in the kitchen. They're all blindfolded.
Okay, yeah, great. Yeah. Cool. Cannibal gang, ready to go. And if anyone ever sees the four of us eating a meal together, you know.
You'll know.
That is all the Scaredy Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
I've been Adam.
Adam, thank you so very, very much for joining us. This was an absolute treat.
Always welcome.
And if you Scaredy listeners would like to contact us to suggest a movie or just say hi, you can do so at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter at Scaredy Boys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Retro Archetype.
Stay scared, everyone.
We got to fuck your way out of that bear trap.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.